Good morning. Everybody's awake and doing all right? Sort of, I'm getting some of this. All right, we're going to have pictures, so it'll be all right. It'll be good. Well, it's good to be with you all. I have not been able to hug every one of you yet, as there has been a lot of lines for hugging, but I'm sure we'll make our rounds. We still have one more Sunday after today, so we'll make our rounds. But it is good to be with you all. Again, when we pulled into the parking lot, Vivian said, "Finally, I've missed this church." And she echoes the sentiment of the family that we've missed you all, and we're glad to be with you all again here this morning. This presentation is for you. This is not for Josh to get up and give his spiel. This is for you to be informed about what's going on. And so this will be a time where you can ask questions and raise your hand and be informed about what's going on and about the work that we are doing. I want to start off by saying from the very beginning, when I say we, I mean we here at Palm Beach Lakes, we are working together in Paraguay. The way God sees mission work is that we are all involved in this work in Paraguay, and we thank you for y'all's support and being workers together with us there. So how are we gonna go through about 18 months of information? Not chronologically, because we don't have that kind of time, but what I want to look at is, you know, a lot of questions we get are, what are you doing in Paraguay? What do you do as a missionary? You know, we know that preachers in the States, you know, Sundays are pretty much their big day, right? And what do missionaries do? What are missionaries doing? And so we're going to look at, in that kind of format, what are we doing in the work as far as what's our day-to-day kind of activities that we're doing? And we're going to show you how the church is growing and what God is doing in Paraguay. So we're going to look at three areas, I think. Am I pushing the wrong button? I am. It's my fault. Okay, here we go. Start over again. Good morning. Okay. Here is just to let you know where we are. Some of you may not know where Paraguay is. I didn't when I was first introduced to this country. But here it is, South America, right in the heart, about 7 million people. We have them all as far as religious organizations are concerned. But as far as the Lord's Church, there are two congregations of the Lord's Church in Paraguay. Basically, any area that speaks Spanish is going to be heavily Roman Catholic. And we have two languages. We have Spanish and Guarani. And I'll talk more about Guarani later on. And maybe you'll get to learn a word in Guarani later on in the presentation. Asunción, about 1.7 million people in the greater Asunción area. And you see a shot of the capital from the river. And you see we have the haves and the have-nots. We have people who are squatting and living along the river. And you have homes that look very much like the homes we have here in Florida. But what's interesting is this also makes up the church. The people we work with are from every walks of life. This isn't just, you know, we're not looking predominantly from one group of people, but we have them all. Let you know kind of what's going on with the building. We've told y'all that we purchased some property back in October when we first moved down in October 2009. And this is what it looked like when we bought it. It's just pretty much a house. This is what it looks like today. We've made it look a little bit more churchy. But we had to put fences up. Now, looking at fences, that's just common. Everybody has fences. Initially, we didn't have fences, and we were the weird ones. And so we needed to put fences up for protection and just keeping the riffraff off the property. But you see that building there to the right? That is a casino. The church building is, you know, we share walls with the casino, basically. And at one point, it was painted like a leopard. I mean, just ugly, big old leopard building. And so we used to tell people we were the lamb next to the lion. So anyway, it's a great location. It's very central. A lot of buses go by. And so it's a good location. Just up close to the sign, Iglesia de Cristo. To know him is to share him. Conocerlo es compartirlo. Here's the team. You know, Perry and Alba. Perry has recently no longer with the team. He'll be working with the school that will be starting up in March, and I'll talk more about that in a minute. Troy and Andrea, you know. And Ollie and Brittany. Brittany Dye moved down and married Ollie Yegros, and she's part of the team. Of course, you know Vivian and Josiah there at the bottom. So what areas are we going to look at? We're going to look at edification, benevolence, and evangelism. There's our three core things that we work on in the field. And it's not really any different than what's going on here. It's just, you know, different accent. In areas of edification, we work a lot with group activities. One big activity we do is a church retreat. We rent out, now hold on to this. This is a Korean Bible camp in South America that we rent out for a weekend and get together for three days. And get the last time we were there, like 20% of the people that were there, I don't know how many, but it was a large group of people who were not even members of the church. They were friends and family of the church members who wanted to come. And so what was supposed to edify the church was also evangelistic in nature. And so we had classes for them about what is the church and what that was all about. We also have Friends and Family Day. Have you heard of that? Yeah. So we do that also. And this is a picture in the back of the church building. And of course we also get together and eat, because you can't be a part of the Lord's body and not eat together, right? You got to do that. Part of our work in edification is building up leadership and building up the... See, you have Christians or men that have been Christians for just a few years. But thankfully, due to a merger, we have men who have been Christians for many years. And so we have a diverse area of leadership. And so part of this is building up leadership in the church. And so what we do is we get together with the men on two times a year, looking at goals for the next year and reviewing what we've done. And here we are looking at some of our goals in the past. We also teach them how to lead in worship. It's something that you're teaching young Christians to do. This is our last retreat. We got together just before Kara and I came here and talked about our goals for 2013, and I'll show you those goals in towards the end of the slide. But the relationship we have with the men there, we don't have elders as of yet. Some men that are close to being qualified. But it is not us as missionaries telling them what they're going to be doing. It's very much like the relationship here. We are evangelists working there with these men, and we may have ideas and things that we want to do, but we go to the congregation and say, do you all want to do these things? Is this something that y'all want to be behind and help us with, and us work together? So it's not missionaries and the church doing their own things. It's this, us working together down there, you know, the biblical model. And so it's been great seeing them take ownership of a lot of these things as we've worked. We also do regular men's meetings. Like I said before, we don't have elders, and so we get together every other Sunday and 8:30 in the morning and or 8 o'clock and talk about the spiritual. How are things going with the congregation? Are there families that need anything? Are there members who are hurting? How are our visitors being received? And then we talk about mowing the lawn and all the other nuts and bolts things. But they start with a devotional and they begin talking about the flock. And so we're educating them on how to be elders, how to be leaders, how to make decisions, how to focus on the work. And so this is part of the edification process. Edification, of course, meaning building up. And this is what we're doing. The ladies get together. They're not left out in their activities. They get together at least once a month and have a ladies' tea. This is very, very good. And they get together in different homes, one another's homes. And this is very encouraging for them. We have a lot of single mothers, ladies who are the only ones that are Christians in their families. And so it gives them a network. It gives them a sense of belonging and part of the group. And they can all, you know, do ladies' things, whatever ladies do at ladies' activities. Now, the men are a little bit jealous of these teas, not so much the tea, but they want to get together and do a men's barbecue or a men's asado once a month. I told them I don't think my waistline could support that kind of habit, but they're not quite as organized as the ladies are getting this together, but here they are eating together also. We also do a Women of Faith. You might recognize this lady. This is something that we do once a year, and we have a guest speaker come in, and we advertise to the community, and they come in and have a lesson about faith or whatever, a ladies' seminar, and the men kind of help corral the kids and that kind of thing during during this event. So here's the two ladies that we've had down there, so you might recognize these ladies. Youth and young adults. Just recently, I was looking at the demographics of the congregation, and we are right at 33%, 0 to 18, 33%, 18 to 30, and 33%, 30 and above. So we're very, we have them all, basically. And the young adults and the youth are very, very active. They do a lot of organizing of events on their own, and Perry works a lot with them. And, you know, young adults, youth are the same everywhere. Like I said, just different accent. Here they are getting ready for a barbecue. But they also do a VBS. We do a VBS in January, and we invite all of Josiah and Vivian's classmates to come. And one of the fathers of Vivian's classmates said, "We need this where I am in my neighborhood." He was watching it, the activities and things, and he said, "We need this in my neighborhood." And so the young adult or the youth got together and they put this on in his neighborhood. He and his wife had been feeding about 100 kids on a regular basis once a month, because his neighborhood's a very poor area. There's lots of drugs. Families aren't that great in his area, is what he's saying. And so there had been 100 kids in his house and been feeding them. We went there and did a one-day VBS, and it was a kind of a neat situation. He just had to tell one or two kids, and those kids went running through the neighborhood, telling them about what was going on, and we had 50 kids show up for this VBS, and it was very good. We did David and Goliath. Here we are acting that out. It was interesting, this little boy right here, he went too far down and got close to the guard dogs. And the guard dog started chasing him up. Anyway, it was interesting. It was funny. It played really well into the story. Karen and I, since we work, we're the only members of the team that have children, and so we work a lot with the families. And part of that is working with couples. Karen and I have a couples class either in our home or in another member's home at least every other Friday. And about two-thirds of that group that meet are not even members of the church. They're our friends, they're friends of friends. We get together and talk about relationships and how God wants our relationships to be. And we got together at, this is EK. EK is the man on your right. And then the to his left is his wife. And then Pedro Vera. These are the two men that could be elders very soon. When we were there, this is EK's brother's ostrich ranch. we were there and we were having dinner that night, and we have dinner late. Dinner starts 9-10 o'clock. That's just common. And we were eating dinner, and a few of these couples had questions about baptism. What does baptism mean? How am I baptized? Why would I need to be baptized? And those kind of questions. Ike and Pedro took that study and they ran with it. They taught these people about what baptism is and why they need it, and answered their questions. And I'll show you a baptism that resulted from that here in just a moment. But these are great men, very good families, and we're excited to be working with them. Benevolence. Child labor. No. There are several children's home or youth orphanages in the area, and we do a little bit with different ones, but this is an orphanage that we can do a lot with. It's not supported by the state, quote-unquote, and so we can have more influence there. And there was a group that had visited this orphanage a while back, a church from the States, and they wanted to help them build a pig pen. And so also Sacramento Street wanted to help also, and so we got the funds together and helped build a pig pen for them. The reason they needed a pig pen is because they They try to support themselves. They keep bees. They raise pigs, chickens. They had a horse, but somebody stole it from them to cut it up to eat. And can you imagine stealing from orphanage? Anyway. So the problem they're having is people come out and try to get their pigs drunk and lead their pigs away. And so they needed to get their pigs secured. Yeah, so they mix a lot of bread with cheap alcohol and give it to the pigs to lead them away drunk. Anyway. So, in order to prevent that from happening, we helped build a little chanchero with them. And of course, here's Vivian and Josiah working. And here's, if I can get it to advance. Did I push the wrong button? It's not working. There it is. Okay, here it is. Here's what it sort of looked like towards the end. They divided it up into four little areas. And so here's what we were working on that day. And then afterwards, we ate with them, the children there. Can you pick mine out? Will they stand out a little bit? So that was a benevolent act. We also we keep a food pantry for people that come to the building. The youth recently went and visited a children's hospital and gave out presents to the children there. So there are a lot of benevolent works that are going on. But the men have said that they don't feel like they're doing enough in the area of benevolence, and they want to have a class on benevolence and do more this year. And that's part of their goals this year, is to do more in benevolence. Evangelism. We have groups that come down, like yourselves. This is a group from West Dyersburg. This is the overseeing church for Chris and Vicky, and this is where they're working. And they brought this group down. We have groups from Fried Hardeman. The young man in the white shirt to your right is Mauri Yegros. He is at Fried Hardeman and preparing to be a missionary here in Florida. He is from Paraguay. He is one of the Yegros boys, and he went to Fried Hardeman and married Elena, or married his wife. I can't remember her name. And so it was good to have them down. Of course, you know these people. Last group from Palm Beach Lakes to come down. It was very exciting. Some of you got to see Paraguay up close with Kara. It was a very good, very good trip. Very encouraging to us, not only to the church, and there's a lot of excitement built up when groups come down, and we kind of ride that wave of excitement after y'all leave, but it's also a shot in the arm for us to see y'all when y'all come down. So that was good. We also are doing a lot to prepare the congregation. Y'all know about Searching for Truth and that material. They have it in Spanish also, so we went through this material with the congregation so they'd be familiar with it and be able to teach. And here we are teaching, breaking out into individual classes. Here it is in Spanish, Buscando la Verdad. We also use the Bible teaching English. Now, we're not teaching ABCs. We don't have that kind of time. There are a lot of organizations in Asuncion that teach English, and so we are there to help them with their conversational English. There's a lot of people that have a base that want to perfect their English, and so we offer this course for free. It's kind of cheating. Would you say it's cheating? They want to learn English, and we want to teach them the Bible, and we use this to kind of weed through some prospective Bible students. And they have led to some baptisms. Now, we use the Buscando la Verdad material. Once we've gone through this six-week program, 2 hours a week, 6 weeks, if they want to continue studying English after that, then we go into Searching for Truth in English, and we give them an English and a Spanish copy so they can look at the two. And so, of course, the vocabulary gets much deeper, and it really turns more into a Bible study at that point. And so we've had a lot of study or a lot of baptisms from that. Alba Harden, Perry's wife, he met her through this, or she came to the church through this. And so there's been a lot of good come from this. Kevin and Hasmin, no, she's a friend of one of the church members, and Kevin was a family member. But Paolo was one of the English contacts, and Enrique is a family member of the church. Andres Vera is the youngest son of the Vera family, of Pedro Vera, and so that whole family has been baptized into Christ. And Mabel Ortiz was a member of, or excuse me, she came through the English program. If it looks like she's standing in the bathroom, it's because she got baptized in the bathroom. It was cold that day, so she didn't want to be out in the swimming pool. Natalia and Ivana is Mabel's daughter. Both of these girls came through the English program. Maria Teresa, she came through a friend of the church. She came out of denominationalism. She was coming to the church crying because she's saying, what I'm finding and what they're teaching in at my church is not what I'm reading in the Bible. It's not what I'm reading in the Bible. And we taught her the way more perfectly, and she was baptized. Ruthie came through the English program. Catherine and Sylvina came through the English program. And Sylvina, I'll show you some of her sisters that were baptized here in just a minute. Miriam and Guillermo, husband and wife, that were baptized. Hector and Patricia, this is an interesting story. They have been visiting the church quite a bit, over a year. They've been living together. They had a son. They knew they needed to fix the situation they were in. We've been talking to them. Patricia was ready, but it was kind of a classic, he wasn't quite ready. Have you heard that story before? And so we got, eventually they decided, yes, we need to get married, but we want to be baptized in the morning and married that night. And so they did that. And the church, they were of humble means, and the church got together and helped them with their wedding. And Ike Yegros did the wedding for them. And so it was very good. Fabiola and Jasmine, these are the sisters of Sylvina that you saw earlier. And those are the baptisms. There have been several baptisms since we've been here. There have been 6 baptisms. I don't want to read into that too much. let's just say that some seed was laid before we left. We'll still do that. The future. Ideas and goals for the work. Do y'all have any questions up till now? Y'all have been very silent. Just soaking it in. All right, very good. Yes, sir. Problems we have culturally, and problems we have with the spiritual setting in that culturally. I don't know. It sometimes it may be. I don't think this is a human element, or it is culture. But just apathy. Not being dedicated to. I think that may be just the human element. I don't even think that's culture. Culture-wise, I don't know. It's a great culture. I don't know that there's a lot of cultural issues that inhibit the work so much. Spiritually, you have the Catholic Church, and so that's a family religion, And if we go against that, we're telling all our family that they're wrong, and so that's been a problem, or can be a problem. And really, it's just a lot of spiritual confusion, and it's not unlike here spiritually. There's a lot of spiritual confusion. And so when you teach them, they say, what kind of Christian are you? Have you heard that? Well, you try and say, I'm just a Christian, just a New Testament Christian. Well, so am I. What kind of Christian are you? No, you're not getting it. You can't say, what kind of Christian are you if you're just a New Testament Christian, right? So those are the two main things. And not unlike what we're having here, not too uncommon. Any other questions? Yes, sir. Each month, I would say we have at least one or two visitors every Sunday. We have a lot of visitors. And it's interesting. Sometimes we have people who have come and said, this is what I've been looking for. This is what I read about. I have a friend that I've been studying with for a long time, and he and I are good friends. And he's a realtor, and he was talking to a lady that he was trying to rent out her room for her. And she goes to the same big, huge, mega church that he goes to. And he hasn't been going very faithfully for a while. And she said she loves this church. And he started saying, well, if you want to find a church that's the closest that I have found to the New Testament, then you need to go over here to this place. Don't go where we have been going, because that's just a circus. That's just a circus. You need to go to this place over here. That's the closest I found to the New Testament church. Now, he's our champion, but I can't get him to come. anyway, he's almost there. He's getting there. We're working on him. Those are the kind of comments we get from people that visit, that this is the kind of church I'll read about. Any other questions before we move on to the future? Yes, ma'am.
What language are the lessons in?
It's all in Spanish. We teach, preach, joke around, all in Spanish. And jokes don't come across so well sometimes in Spanish. I have to tell them I'm joking. Because I had to do that here sometimes in English too, but to be fair. Yes? Well, how different is Guarani from Spanish? So different that the Koreans want to learn Guarani before they learn Spanish, because it sounds more Korean than Spanish does. And we'll talk about, I'll mention some words here in just a minute, just to give you an idea of how it sounds, and y'all can laugh at me, but any other questions? Yes, ma'am.
Is it imperative that you learn Guarani?
It would be really cool if we could learn Guarani, and what I've said to people is that you can speak intellectually to Paraguayans in Spanish, but if you want to talk to the heart, you need to learn their mother tongue. You need to learn Guarani. Now, in the city where we are, in the major populated areas, you can do fine in Spanish. But if you get outside of those areas into the rural areas, it's pretty much just going to be Guarani, or they mix it. It's called Jopara when they mix the Spanish and the Guarani. It's cheating in my book. But anyway, so... Huh? We do have Spanglish. Yes, that's true. So anyway, it would be good, but that's a labor of love. It's completely different. What's nice about it is that it is in a lot of the same word order as English. They say it's easy to learn. We'll see, right? Any other questions? Yes, sir. Well, it's that, it's location, it's, you know, people come in off the street and just sleep under there. We're a church, you know, why should we be able to sleep here? And it's caused a lot of problems. I was actually on the national news talking about, because we had a lot of problem with kids sleeping up there and just using the bathroom on our property and hiding their drugs and that kind of stuff. And we're trying to get rid of them lovingly. I lovingly threw a bucket of water on one of them, told them to get out of here. But I was on the national news, and it was like Regis and Kelly in the morning. I didn't know I was live, and I was telling this guy in what little Spanish I knew at the time that these people are using the bathroom all over our property, and we're trying to get them out of here, but we don't know how to help them, you know. And he's like holding the microphone, and he goes, "You mean doing their necessities?" And I'm like, "Yeah, that." So I say that jokingly, but it's been a problem, and that's really what kind of helped us, was putting those fences up. And that's, everybody has that. It's not uncommon. And it really protects us. We have a secretary there that's there all the time. And it really gives her peace of mind knowing that there's that barrier there for her. Because it can be dangerous if you're not careful. These guys were pulling knives on us and stuff. So I got serious. And I got the bucket of water out. So anyway. What's that?
Sprinkling.
It was sprinkling. That's right. Sprinkling them. I told him I was going to do it, and he didn't believe me. Anyway, evangelism. What are we going to do with evangelism? Where are we going to sprinkle people? No, we're going to... These are our goals of the men. Now, these are men. The men have decided these things. These are not us as missionaries saying, you know, these are things you're going to do. These are what the men have decided. We, of course, were working with them and helping them, but these are what they decided. They want to continue offering the conferences. We offer various conferences throughout the year to get attention. Continue with evangelistic campaigns. Of course, that's mostly in our camp, but they want to continue. They see the need for those. Continue using Searching for Truth materials. They like those materials. They're easy to use. We give them out for free, and the people love them. They love receiving that because it's printed material. That's very expensive down there. They want to have a regular radio program. This is something that they're working on, is developing a radio program, and they're trying to find a station right now and getting the word out. But this will be something that's all Paraguayan. We're not going to be, as missionaries, we're not going to be recording this message. They want to say it, and they want to read some of the Bible in Guarani. And so they want to get this out. And they want to plant another congregation in Nembe, right? That's what that looks like, Nembe. But you would say that in Guarani, Nembe. That's how you'd say that. The Y is Can y'all say that? That's also the word for water. So now you know. Give me some right? So there you go. That's a Guarani word. So Numbu is a city outside of Asuncion that the congregation, Sacramento Street, wants to start this congregation. There's a lot of people that are coming from this area. There's a possibility of a young man coming down from a preaching school in Guatemala to work with this group for a year and get it started. And so this is something that might be coming online. They're still talking about it and working about details, but this is something that the congregation of Sacramento Street wants to do. for evangelism. Edification, start the intensive Bible school program. Now they've decided to call it the Bible Academy. It's going to be a 2-year intensive school. This is going to be a work of Sacramento Street. Troy is going to be working primarily with this. Perry will no longer be with the team, and he'll be working full-time with this school. This is sort of like a preaching school, is what you'd call it. But you know, the members of the congregation are invited to attend. We have 4 students for sure that are signed up and are going to be attending this program. And so this is something to edify and get the knowledge base up of the members there, so that we can get local preachers and local leaders there, local evangelists. Have other leadership classes, continue with the leadership classes, continue having church retreats, 2 men's retreats in spring and fall. Now I know these aren't quantified yet, you know, these were just hot off the press when I left. They're still ironing out what that's going to mean, but benevolence, offer the course comfort in times of grief. We have a lot of, how do I say this? Are you familiar with a wake? What a wake is? Do y'all know what a wake is? Not like the boats, what boats make. Do y'all know what a wake is? Okay.
Viewing the body.
Viewing the body, yes. You know, they do not embalm bodies there. And so you've got 24 hours to get that into the ground. And so they have a viewing of the body overnight, or however, whatever time they have. And it's very intense. We've gone to a lot of those, and it can be very, very intense. If you've ever wanted to see weeping and gnashing of teeth, there's a lot of that sometimes going on at these, depending on the situation. But part of that in the grieving process, there's nothing really there to help with the grief. And so this is designed, and Brittany has really helped put this together, is designed to help with grief. And so it's a 10-week study on how God can help you while you're grieving and help people through the grieving process. If you've ever grieved, you know it can last for years, and it can affect your life intensely. And so this is something to help. And so we've done it with the church, and we're doing it now with the church members and some of their friends, and we want to open it up to the community, and it be sort of an outreach, how God can help you with going through grief. So maintaining the food pantry also. Have a class on the subject of benevolence. They wanted to do that. I told you before that they don't think they're doing enough. And continue collecting funds to help members in need. There are widows we have who are widows indeed, and dependent on God, and so we're helping them, and of course other members. Are there any other questions or anything? We're at the end of our pictures, but are there any other questions? Yes, ma'am. Yes, you know, there are a lot of children on the street who are begging, and there'll be children out there, just super young kids, trying to wash windows, or try and wash your rearview mirrors and that kind of stuff. And you'll usually see an adult out there kind of hurting them. If you give them money, that money goes to that adult typically. And so we give out crackers and food to the kids. And, you know, we talked a lot about that when we first moved there. The kids were like, why are they out on the street, you know, and why are they doing that? And so we talked about what that meant and what that was. And so, anyway, sorry. Proud Father, that's been a part of their prayers, you know, usually. When they pray, they're going to pray sometimes for the kids who don't have a family, who don't have a food. So, any other questions, comments? Yes, ma'am.
From American food.
Oh, yes. The food does taste different. And we're doing all right. I'm surviving. There's currently more of Josh than there has ever been. But there's a lot of beef. And a lot of good food. Of course, they cut all their meat different, and their food is free range and that kind of stuff, so it tastes different. But yeah, it's completely different. And we don't have tacos, and we don't do tortillas, and nothing spicy down where we are. It's all very bland. If it has a good taste to it, it's not Paraguayan. typically, it's typically bland. Okay. I need to back up and say that it tastes good. It's just any really intense flavors is too spicy for them. They don't like really intense flavors. Mandioca is a big part of their stuff too. Yes, sir.
How about
breakfast? Breakfast is like bread, coffee, and like marmalade. They also do like this sweet potato gel thing with cheese and bread.
But they don't believe in eggs. Well, they have eggs, lots of eggs. There's chickens everywhere, but they don't believe in eggs for breakfast. That's completely foreign to them. That's Yankee. They don't do eggs for breakfast. Yeah, they call us Yankees. It doesn't matter where you are, Mason-Dixon line. They've never heard of that. You're just Yankee, okay? So they don't believe in eggs for breakfast. Nope. They don't do it. But they do eggs on hamburgers, which is awesome. That's the complete hamburger. You haven't, don't knock until you tried it. It's very, very good. Any other questions? Yes. A card, yes. We have a PO box down there. I don't remember. It takes a while. I want to say a couple of weeks for a card to get down there. Do you remember? Yeah, about a couple of weeks to get for a card. It's really cost prohibitive. It's really expensive to do a box or anything like that, but cards get down there. We have a PO box, and that's easy to do. In the area of drugs? Well, I don't know statistically, just, you know, on the street, there's a lot of people. He was asking questions about drugs and statistics on work and people who are looking for work. There's a lot of people who don't work by choice, you know, and as far, it's hard to find jobs there. It's very competitive. I'm sorry? There are some systems, especially for the indigenous people, there are some government supports and government programs for them. As far as drugs concerned, Paraguay's always been an in-between place, a shipping port. And so there's a lot of cocaine that comes into Paraguay from northern Brazil and Bolivia that comes into Paraguay and is shipped out. But we do have a lot of marijuana. I don't say that in a proud way. I'm just saying that every once in a while in the news, they're cutting down like 14 hectares of marijuana. And a hectare is bigger than an acre. And they're cutting down big, big crops. And that's usually what they've allowed them to find. There's a lot of corruption. And so they throw the bone, from what I hear, they throw the police a bone every once in a while to make it look like they're doing something. But they all cut it down and pile up and stand around it while it's burning. I don't know why they're doing that. But any other questions? That was a joke. Sorry. Yes, sir. We have everything. We have everything. We don't have like the upper crust people. And it's interesting. What did Christ say about upper crust people? It's harder, you know. So it's harder for us to get, especially when they're coming to this little old runky-dink church building. You know, we're not like, you know, mega church. So we don't have super upper crust people. We have people who have means, and we have people who are living day to day. But we don't have super upper crust people. But we have everything in between. Yes, sir. We're pretty balanced. Oh, yeah. Are there other religious organizations that started here? Yes, there's a Mormon temple down there. There's like a Mormon establishment in almost every little community. And we see those guys out walking around. It's really cool when they're walking around and you can see that they're from the States to yell out the window or say to them, "Hey, where are y'all from?" Kind of throws them, "What?" They're not used to hearing that. But there's the Baptists. There's everything as far as like the States method. It's all down there, Lutheran. Yes.
Do you have the big community churches down there too that we have here?
Yes. Yes. Our kids are in a private school setting, and the big community church that runs this school that our kids are in. It's been a program that's established for about 25 years, so it's a good school. And we have a lot of contacts. We're starting to kind of pull them out of that. So it's been great for us to be involved in their lives too. And it's a good program for the kids.
Are their kids in English or Spanish? Your kids?
They're learning everything mostly in Spanish. They do have like an ESL program about 2 hours out of the day, but our kids are the best students in that. It's way beyond, our kids are way beyond what they're teaching. And because of that, their English sometimes gets mixed up with Spanish, which is fun. It's interesting for them. Sometimes I can tell that they've thought of something first in Spanish and translated into English. So it's interesting. Yes, sir. They're pretty good. They all get along pretty well. Paraguayans can travel in and out fine. There's no need for a passport or anything like that, or a visa of any kind in those countries. Every once in a while, there's friction between Argentina and Brazil, just border stuff, you know, land control, water rights, and those kind of things, but nothing major. I know that between Argentina and Paraguay and Brazil and Paraguay, they've gone in halvesies and built hydro dams along a lot of those rivers. We have the world's third largest hydro dam, and Paraguay only uses two of their generators, and the rest they sell back to Brazil. So, any other questions? We're about out of time. Like I said, this information was for you all, and I want to again say that this is something that we are working together in Asuncion, and I appreciate our family, appreciates your support and your involvement in that work.